If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. We'll be looking at Matthew chapter 19, beginning in verse 16. Matthew 19, verse 16. Jesus has been talking about the personal ethics of what it means to be a kingdom disciple, one who would occupy the kingdom of heaven. What do they look like? What do they act like? How do they think? What do their marriages look like? What do their children look like? How do they parent? How do they view children? He's been talking about several of these aspects of what the kingdom community ought to look like. And apparently this has led to someone seeking to be a part of the kingdom. Isn't that interesting? That we as believers ought to live our life in such a way that we ought to think and act and speak in such a way, in a winsome way, that when people see that, they say, how can I get in on it? So there are many things in this world today that maybe you see and you think, man, I want to get on that, so I got a deal for you. You ready? I got a deal. An investment opportunity. And this, well, that's all right. So I have an investment opportunity for you. You know what that investment opportunity is? I'm going to tell you how to get rich quick. Are you excited about this? I'm excited about it. I've been thinking about it all week. I got an investment opportunity for you, and you can get rich quick. All we got to do is read this passage, and then we'll do a few other things. But let's begin with this passage, all right? So we'll begin reading in Matthew chapter 19, beginning of verse 16, and this is what we read. And behold, a man came up to him, saying, Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? And he said to him, Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments. And he said to him, Which ones? And Jesus said, You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man said to him, All these I have kept. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus said to the disciples, Truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, Who can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then Peter said in reply, See, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have? Jesus said to them, Truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you will have followed me, and will also sit. You who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, will receive a hundredfold, and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. We know that the Word of God is living and breathing. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, able to pierce between soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, even dividing the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So before we consider this passage, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your Word. We pray this morning as we consider your Word, as we read about your commandments, as we interact with this story of the rich young ruler, we pray, Father, that you would help us to understand. We pray, Father, as the gospel goes forth, that you would bind the evil one, that he would keep from stealing gospel seeds from our hearts, that you would be with me as I proclaim your truth. May your truth be great. May your word do its work, and may we give you glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How to get rich quick. Well, that's a pretty good deal, right? Everybody wants to figure out how they can make a whole lot of money without doing a whole lot of effort, right? That's the dream. To not have to work real hard, but to be well taken care of, right? That's what it seems like. That's what it seems like when we have several of these great get-rich-quick schemes. Well, I think we have one for us today, but it's a little bit different than what maybe a worldly get-rich-quick scheme would be. Because here we have a situation where we have a rich young ruler. A rich young ruler that comes to Jesus. He's heard Jesus speak about the kingdom ethics, what it means to be a part of the kingdom, how we act in the kingdom. He's heard Jesus preach the coming of the kingdom, and he said, I want in on that. That's a deal I want to invest in. And so we know the story. The rich young ruler comes up and he says, teacher. He says, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? What do I have to do to get in on this? And he said to him, Jesus replied, why do you ask me what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments. So he comes to Jesus, this man, and he decides that he is lacking something. Something in his life is lacking, and he knows it. And he knows that this kingdom that Jesus is preaching, he is not a part of. Now, that's a good place to be, right? If you have ever been in a church and you have heard the preacher describe the Christian life, you have heard the preacher describe Christian joy and Christian love, the grace of God in their life, and you've said, that's not me, that's a good thing. Because you have to realize that's not you before you can let that become you, right? Before you can enter into the Christian life, you have to realize that you're not a Christian to begin with. And so this is a good place for the rich young ruler to be. But we see that he has some things mixed up. The first thing that he asks, the first attempt to get rich quick is works. So his question is, what good deed do I have to do to get in? What's that good thing that I have to do to get in? The first thing that the rich young ruler story teaches us today is that you and I cannot get rich quick through works. And when I say get rich quick, I hope by now that you know that I'm not talking about financially. I'm talking about true riches. True spiritual riches, eternal life, the kingdom of God, being able to call that your own. Jesus tells us through his interaction with this teacher that good works will not do it. Jesus said, why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. In other words, you and I are not good. Every person ever born from the lineage of Adam and Eve has not been good. There is only one who is good. And so he tells them, if you would enter life, keep the commandments. If you would enter life, keep the commandments. All the commandments. Keep them perfectly. That is how you enter into eternal life. You enter into eternal life by presenting perfect righteousness. Well, this is a kind of a big command, and so the rich young ruler tries to narrow it down, and he says, which ones? Which ones do I have to keep? Well, Jesus gives him an example. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man gets a little bit of hope back, because he says, all these I have kept. But notice what he says next. What do I still lack? In other words, something about this man's moral life has not achieved kingdom status. He's lacked something. He's kept the commands. He's loved the Lord his God by keeping the commands. In his mind, that's what he has done. He has not committed adultery. He has not stolen. He has not bore false witness. He has honored his father and his mother. And he feels like he has loved his neighbor as himself. And yet, something is lacking. We don't know much about this man. But from his perception, we see that he believes himself to be one who keeps the commandments. A pretty good person. Well, the first thing that the rich young ruler teaches us is that being a pretty good person does not earn eternal life. Being a pretty good person does not earn eternal life. In fact, what we find out as we read the Bible is that pretty good people die and go to hell sometimes. That's not the merit for heaven, being pretty good. We know several people, maybe friends, family, and we know that they pride themselves on being pretty good. They're a good old person. They're a moral person. But morality alone does not earn heaven. It cannot. Because regardless of how good you think you are, none of us are good enough. That's what Paul tells us in the book of Romans. He begins the book of Romans by writing to the Romans and telling them that the wrath of God has been revealed against all mankind. And he uses specific examples with the Gentile nations. He shows that the Gentiles, those nations that were not ethnically Jewish, they saw, clearly perceived from nature that there was a God, and they exchanged the glories of this God, and instead they did not worship him. They worshiped creatures. They made for themselves idols. And because they made for themselves idols, then their morality followed after those idols. They began to show in their actions that they did not know God. And I imagine the Jewish person in the audience said, that's exactly what they did. Those Gentiles, they don't worship God. Those Gentiles are sinful. Those Gentiles, the wrath of God should be against them. But then Paul turns the narrative in chapter 2. And Paul speaks of the Jewish people. And he said, you had the law. You had the prophets. You had Moses. You had Elijah. You had Isaiah and Jeremiah. And yet, you still sinned openly against God. You still turned to idols against the revealed God of the Bible. And so because of that, in Romans chapter 3, he reminds us that no one is righteous. No, not one. All have gone astray. No one seeks after God. No one in here can say, I'm a pretty good person. No one. This is the message of the Bible, that our pretty good compared to God is nothing but filthy rags. Our pretty good compared to our standard, perfect righteousness, the righteousness that Jesus embodied upon this earth, that righteousness, we can never measure up. In fact, Paul will say it this way, that every day that we continue to live in our sins, in Romans chapter 2, we are storing up for ourselves wrath upon wrath upon wrath. You may be able to pay off a little debt, but any sane person will tell you that you will never pay off your debt until you quit spending. And our greatest problem is that we can't stop spending. We can't stop sinning. We store up for ourselves wrath upon wrath upon wrath. Good works will not do it. Good works will not do it. So Jesus points to something. He zooms in a little bit. He's mentioned several of the Ten Commandments here, but he's going to highlight one specific commandment that the rich young ruler has not kept. The rich young ruler says, what do I still lack? And so Jesus said to him in verse 21, if you would be perfect. Now this word perfect, let me pause there for just a second, because when we say perfect, we think, when we say perfect, our mindset is maybe 100%, right? But this word for perfect is more to be complete. That's the idea, to be complete. So Jesus says, if you would be complete, if you would come to your desired end, to be complete, then you have to do something. We would use this for an example, to use a sports analogy. I think it was 2 years ago, the Cleveland Browns had a perfect record. They were 0-16. They didn't win a game. But they had a perfect record. It was complete. It was whole. It wasn't good, but it was complete. Well, this is kind of what Jesus is talking about here. To be complete, to be all uniformed, to be complete in this sense would be a positive sense, that we would be completely human, that we would be perfectly human, that we would be perfect with God, complete with God. We would be as we were created to be. That's what he's saying here. How can we be perfect? How can this young man be perfect? Well, Jesus tells him. He gives him two commands. Go, sell what you possess, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me. You know what Jesus is giving this man? He's giving him a get rich quick. That's what he's saying. How can you get rich quick? Go, sell all that you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Now, I said Jesus is highlighting a command here that he had not mentioned before, that shows the lack in this person. What command is that? It's the first command. Jesus is showing through his words that the one thing that this man lacked was the most important thing. This man did not love the Lord his God Instead, he had other gods before him. Now, wait a second. This man had no homemade idols. This man was a Jewish person. He had kept the law. He had heard these things. So what is he lacking? Well, he has a God, and it is not Yahweh. He has a God. It is not the God of Jacob. It is not the God of Abraham. It is not the God of Isaac. Instead, we find out in verse 22 who his God is. In verse 22, it says, "When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." This man's God was his possessions. Works will not get you into heaven, and neither will idol worship. Idol worship, that's what this is. That's the problem. The problem of the rich young man, the rich young ruler, is that he loves something more than God. And that for him was his great possessions. We don't know the story of this rich young man. We don't know what he had to do to gain these possessions. He might have worked tirelessly, night and day. He might have put in the time to build up this kingdom of his. And yet, how subtly do good things become gods? This man was trusting in his possessions. That was what he thought would get him to heaven. His possessions. Now, no one in here would be considered a rich young ruler. Nobody in here would be considered billionaires. We wouldn't be able to say that we have built a kingdom for ourselves in riches. But it doesn't have to just be riches, does it? Because regardless of whether you are rich or poor, anything in your life can become an idol. Anything can become an idol. Anything that we trust in for salvation, anything that we trust in has become our God. So if we were to stand before God tonight, God forbid we were to die, and we were to stand before God tonight, if we were to answer that question, why am I here? Why should I get the treasures of heaven? If we were to answer that with anything other than through the precious blood of Jesus, that is our idol. If we were to say, but I'm a church member. I was baptized in the church. I walked down the aisle of this church. I was married in this church. My children were raised in this church. You know what that means for your salvation? Squat if that's all you got. That's not enough. You can trust in your possessions. In your possessions that you have wealth, and you have a house, and you have a car, and you have kids, and you have a good job. Those are great. But they cannot keep you out of hell, and they cannot get you into heaven. This rich young man showed that his heart was led astray by something less than. How do we have treasures in heaven? That's a question the disciples want to ask, because they see this rich man come up. And in those days, almost implicitly, it implied that if you had riches, you had the blessings of God. And so, if you have the blessings of God, you must have the favor of God. God must really love you if you have these possessions. And yet Jesus here has shown that that is not enough. And this man has walked away sorrowfully without salvation. He has walked away poor. And so Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." Now perhaps you've heard in the past, or maybe you've read in the past, that this is a metaphor for an eye and a gate. And it would be tough for a camel to get. It wouldn't be impossible. The camel would have to get down and crawl through. That's a faulty understanding of this. That was a later understanding. I think what Jesus meant was literally, it is hard, it is impossible for a camel to go through an eye of a needle. You know why I say that? One, because the church didn't teach that until about the 4th century. There was a man named Jerome who did a lot of good, but that was his way of explaining this text because it's a hard text. Is Jesus really saying it's impossible for rich people to get to heaven? What does he say? When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished. They were astonished because that's what Jesus was saying. Jesus was saying it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich person to be saved. That astonished them. But notice what Jesus says next. They said, "Who can be saved?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, that rich people would be saved." You know what else is impossible with man? That poor people would be saved. You know what else is impossible with man? That any man would be saved. But with God, all things are possible. God can even strip the seeming beauty of idols from our eyes and help us to see our need for Him. God can do that. It is impossible with man, but with God, all things are possible. Well, the light bulb comes on for Peter. And Peter thinks, wait a second. We didn't leave riches and riches and riches. But Peter thinks, I left a fishing business, a pretty good fishing business. I left all that and followed you. And so he speaks up and he says, wait a second, Lord. See here, we have left everything and followed after you. What will we have? And Jesus tells him. Jesus says to them, truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last and the last first. What do we find out? In this passage, we find out that the true rich people was not the ruler, was not the one with material possessions. He was not rich. In fact, he came to Jesus with material possessions, but he left away spiritually poor, spiritually bankrupt. And yet, the disciples, who had no possessions to their name, Jesus tells them, you are rich beyond comparison. Suppose tomorrow, the richest man in the world calls you, and he tells you, you have a weekend. This next weekend, you can have all my money, all my assets, and you can do whatever you want with it. But I want you to know something. At the end of the weekend, everything that you buy comes back to me. And if you've bought food or anything else, then that debt will come back to me as well. You'll owe that debt as well. Boy, Friday night, you're rich, right? Are you rich Friday night? You have all the money in the world. Are you rich? Why? Why aren't you rich? Because Monday's coming. And on Monday, everything goes back to the owner. In this world, we are stewards. We are given possessions, some more than others. God himself in his sovereignty, he gives to some and not to others. He controls the amount of wealth that people have. He is in control of that. But at the end of the day, this world will be undone and made anew. And on that day, accounts will become reckoned. And what we do with our possessions, we will be accountable for. And gold and silver, houses and cars, good colleges, good jobs, all those things will burn up. But what will be left are true treasures. Treasures in heaven. Treasures that cannot be taken away. Jesus says, do not store up for yourself things on this earth where the thief can break in and steal and the moth can destroy and rust can rot. Don't store up for yourself riches that can be taken away from you. Instead, invest in something worthwhile. You want to get rich quick? The way that you can truly become a rich person, the way that you can truly get rich quick is trusting in Jesus and Him alone. Because we are promised in this life that if we trust in Jesus, we will have eternal life. Blessed is the one who leaves mothers and fathers, who leaves sisters and brothers, who leaves houses and children and land for my sake, for he will receive 100-fold. You cannot give up enough in this life that heaven can't satisfy it. 1 minute in heaven will undo all the sorrows on earth. So the question for you is, what are you investing in? What are you trusting in? Are you trusting in works? What can I do good? What good deed can I do to earn heaven? Are you trusting in that? Your works will burn up. Are you trusting in what you have, your possessions, who you are, your good personality? Are you trusting in your family relationships? Are you trusting in your church membership? Are you trusting in your children? Those things will burn up. Those things will be no more. But true, lasting treasures comes from trusting in Jesus Christ, the righteous one, the one who lived on this earth 3 years perfectly, the one who went to the cross willingly, and the one who my sin and your sins were laid upon his back, the one who suffered and bled and died, but the one that God raised from the dead, and the one who will return one day to remake this world and to lift up those who were last. So the question is, what do we do with this? What do we do with this? Maybe you've heard the phrase that that person is too heavenly minded to be of any earthly good. Well, that phrase is only true if we have a wrong idea of what heaven is. What do we do with this? On Monday morning, we must ask ourselves, are we heavenly minded? Are we looking forward to the future, or are we making all of our decisions as if this is it? Are we practical atheists? Or do we trust in the sovereign God of the universe who controls not just the remainder of the decades that we have left here? Are we trusting in the one that has eternity laid out for us? When we make decisions, when we make investments, what is more important? Comfort here? Money here? Wealth here? Or relationships that will last through eternity? There's no verse in the Bible that says that the angels rejoice in heaven when you get a good dividend on your stocks. And nowhere does it say in here that the angels rejoice in heaven when you are able to retire with all that you think that you have. Nowhere in here does it say that angels rejoice in heaven when you get your paycheck. Nowhere in here does it say that angels rejoice in heaven when you're a pretty good person. But it does say that the angels rejoice in heaven when just one sinner returns to the family of God. That is what is eternal. The eternal investment that we have in one another, in our children, in our grandchildren, in our church, that is what will last to eternity. That will pass through the fires of refinement and come out as gold. So this morning I want to ask you, what are you investing in? Do you want to get rich quick? I can tell you how. Trust in the Lord Jesus, and you will have riches and treasures for eternity. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray this morning that you would help this word to produce fruit 100-fold. We pray that you would help us, Lord, to not trust in the idols of this earth that seem beautiful and seem as if they can deliver us in this life. Instead, Lord, we pray that you would help us to give those up and to trust in you, the only sure foundation. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.